happy. I'll be back in my normal slot, 10 p.m. on Monday. Hope you join me then for next week's news. If you miss any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on both Global Player and the new LBC app, where you can stay up to date on the top stories and opinion, pick news categories in the order you want, pause and rewind live radio, and listen to a range of podcasts. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store right now. Coming up at 10 on LBC, Nick Abbott. Right now, here's Rachel Johnson.
Thanks, Ben. As Musk hangs up his chainsaw today, the world waits to see whether Trump too is going full throttle on his revenge tour, ignoring court rulings, placing himself above the law. If so, he becomes the de facto US dictator. I'd say this is an inflection point. If the famous constitutional checks and balances fail, if the Supreme Court folds, can anything stop Trump from doing whatever he wants? Is this how democracy dies? So after the news, is it now an open and shut case of ask not what Trump can do for America, but what can the world do for Donald Trump?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, a prison officer has been flown to hospital after being stabbed by an inmate in Worcestershire. Police have begun an investigation at HMP Long Larton. LBC's George Ike has more.
This happened inside the high-security Category A prison just before 10 o'clock this morning. Subsequently, a 25-year-old male prison officer was airlifted from the jail near Evesham to hospital. Police say he has serious injuries following the alleged attack. The Shadow Justice Secretary, Robert Jenrick, called the attack the result of shameful inaction.
A 53-year-old man accused of driving a car into crowds in Liverpool on Monday is scheduled to go on trial later this year. Paul Doyle is yet to enter a plea after being charged with several offences, including GBH. 79 people were injured at the Premier League title parade. A search has begun for a missing child in the River Thames in Kent. The Coast Guard says two children got into difficulty near Royal Terrace Pier in Gravesend. One of them has been rescued and has been taken to hospital for treatment. The BBC has been ordered to pay damages to former Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams for defamation. He's won his libel case against them over allegations he sanctioned the killing of former party official Dennis Donaldson, which he denies. The broadcaster says it's disappointed after being ordered to pay £84,000. And the government has sold its remaining shares in NatWest after it was rescued by UK taxpayers during the 2008 financial crisis. The Treasury has been a stakeholder since the bank received a £46 billion bailout. To date, £35 billion has been returned to the Exchequer, meaning the sale has come at a loss of £10.5 billion. NatWest Group Chairman Rick Haythornthwaite's been asked if he had a message for the public.
Gratitude to the taxpayers. They not just rescued this bank, they protected millions of savers, of businesses, of homeowners. And, you know, from the bank standpoint, it gave us the opportunity to completely restructure into a much stronger bank.
In the city, the FTSE 100 has closed up 55 points at 87.72. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.18. LBC weather turning increasingly breezy with the risk of showers in the north and west tonight. Dry and mainly clear in the south and east, a low of 5. Outbreaks of rain in the north tomorrow, mostly dry with sunshine in the south and southeast. Cloudy with showers elsewhere, a high of 26 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Amelia Cox.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Rachel Johnson.
Three minutes past seven. Hello, good evening and welcome. Well, I've got my eye on the television where Donald Trump goes. Chaos and lawsuits are never far behind. I can see him speaking live in the Oval Office now. The mood music this week has been it's his way or the highway when it comes to tariffs, trade, students, immigration, and also, needless to say, his White House, which is where we should really begin, because before we get to the power grab and the trade war, the man with the chainsaw and the black baseball hat with, I think, 13 kids, the former first buddy, the world's richest man, is being off-boarded today
Not 20 million, a lot. Not 200,000, which is a lot. So think of it, in her case, you have $100, and now all of a sudden, she gets hit with an infusion of $2 billion just before I take office. $20 million for Arab Sesame Street in the Middle East. Nobody knows what that's all about. Nobody's been able to find it. $8 million for making mice transgender. So they spent $8 million on making mice transgender.
What we see and there is Donald Trump is handing out plaudits for Doge. And Elon Musk, of course, has spent 130 days wielding a chainsaw. He's carved, hacked something like a trillion, which is half as much as he wanted to, from the federal budget. He gutted foreign aid. But of course, Elon also damaged his own businesses, mainly Tesla and Starlink. The two things aren't unrelated, the trade wars and the damage to business, because of course Musk didn't like the big, beautiful tax bill, did he? We'll keep an eye on this press conference. I don't see the snotty-nosed kid there, but Elon Musk is definitely wearing his MAGA hat. Well, while we just keep across that, and before we get to discussion as to whether Trump thinks he is above the law, and even if the fight over tariffs goes to the Supreme Court, he thinks he can win it anyway because his trade advisor, Bob Navarro, says, oh, he'll just find another way of doing them. Let's get to Matthew Shoemaker, who's an intelligence and national security expert and a political commentator. Matthew Shoemaker, thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, as we can see, this is the offboarding of Elon Musk is ongoing as we speak. So should we first of all look at this question about the trade war and how it's become very legal this week? Donald Trump doesn't seem to mind lawfare at all. He just sees it as another, you know, hill he won't die on. But if he does ignore the federal court rulings on the tariffs and he takes it up to the Supreme Court, which is stacked with his own people, will it increasingly look as if Trump is turning himself into the de facto dictator of the United States?
Well, you know, that is a great question. I will say from the legal standpoint that the administration currently is on, the legal justification that they've used for the tariffs is unlikely to stand. We saw in the appellate courts over the past few days them saying that there is no legal justification in the law that the administration is using to justify their actions. They do not have the authority, the administration does not have the authority to issue blanket-wide tariffs. Now, as you've mentioned, there may be other legal mechanisms that Trump can invoke to allow some tariffs at least to go through, such as tariffs that he's used individually against Chinese EVs in the United States. Those have been allowed to stand because it's under a different justification. Now, whether or not the administration tries to do that writ large in a blanket way using a different mechanism, that still is an open question because the Constitution explicitly gives the Congress tariff justifications and tariff authorities. If Trump wants to continuously ignore them and use different means to do it, he's going to find himself in the exact same spot that he is in right now, which is it's going to go through the courts. It's going to be a slow process, and he's going to be banging his head against the wall if and when he ever gets the result that he wants.
And now the U.S. Court of International Trade ruled that the administration had acted illegally using the emergency powers law to impose 30% tariffs on goods from China. And I know that that went up to 145 and then it came down again. 25% tariffs on goods from Mexico and Canada and the universal 10% on everyone else. Where does that leave the administration that has said, that has boasted, that it has recouped tens of billions of revenues from these tariffs? Well, as if it's the other countries who've paid all this money into the coffers and not the US consumer.
Indeed. I've spoken to many different business owners who've seen their own supply chains get thrown out of whack because they have to spend so much more money to import goods that they need to deliver goods and services to the American people. So you're absolutely right. And, you know, the administration is going to say what it wants to say in order to try and market its policies as being helpful and beneficial. You know, it really comes down to whether or not the average American voter ends up believing it. Right now, it's up in the air, generally speaking. However, I've seen polling that generally shows that people are at least very skeptical about whether or not this is actually going to help them in the long run, because people are seeing the prices increase on their day-to-day trips to the grocery store, and people are being laid off because of this as well. So long-term effect of this is still up in the air, but people are certainly very skeptical of it.
And just turning to what's going on in the White House now, where he's talking about Elon Musk, and he's opened up a new lawfare with the courts to do with tariffs. He's also mentioning the wars that he's trying to settle in the Middle East and Ukraine. He's got a huge amount on his plate and in his in-tray. But do you think that the penny is beginning to drop when he went off to the Gulf states, that what he's really doing, all those things are a distraction from the main event in his mind, which is Donald Trump?
Yeah. That is a great question, because it just on your comment about his trip to the Middle East, all of the money and the funding that he claims to have gotten agreed to invest in the United States, those are all pledges, as in the Gulf countries have pledged to invest, you know, however much money into the United States. That money is currently nowhere near actually being invested. So for all we know, 6 to 12 months from now, that, you know, that money might not appear. However, looking at the big picture, in terms of what you were alluding to, President Trump really has not had very many foreign policy wins in his administration so far. The agreement between Hamas and the Israelis fell through extraordinarily quickly at the beginning of his term. He still doesn't have any sort of agreement with the Russians and the Ukrainians. And his Iran deal is still nowhere to be seen. So whether or not his foreign policy actually ends up coming through is a great question. The best parallel, historically speaking, that I can think of more than anything is Winston Churchill's second time in office in the 1950s. It was generally at the time seen to be a disaster more than anything. He was wonderful during World War II, but after that, you know, his second time in office was just a complete disaster. We're still early in the second Trump administration, but, you know, those parallels are starting to be drawn, that his second time in office is not shaping up to what people thought it was going to be.
And will the American people, will they tolerate Donald Trump placing himself apparently above the law in the way he seems so happy to do, so almost casual about it? And we're going to hear a clip from Caroline Leavitt, who basically accused that the court that ruled the administration's big, beautiful bill and tariff regime illegal, activist judges.
So Caroline Leavitt will say whatever she needs to say to uphold President Trump's line that he is trying to advocate for. So I always take what she says with an extraordinarily large grain of salt. But more than anything, I think over the next probably 6 to 12 months in particular are really going to be President Trump's time that he has to effect change. As soon as the midterm elections in the United States really start to ramp up, he may get sidelined more and more in terms of whether or not congressional Republicans start to continue to listen.
Listen,
to him.
I'd love to. Can you just tune into the white? We're just going to throw to Elon Musk, and then I want you to reflect on what he's saying.
That's been there a long time. That was plaster. Nobody ever really saw it. They didn't know the eagle was up there, and we highlighted. It's essentially a landmark, a great landmark, and that's 24 karat gold, and everybody loved it. And now they all see it when they come in. So it's been good.
The Oval Office has the majesty that.
Okay, so again, we threw to the presser between Elon Musk and Donald Trump as Elon's being off-boarded at a moment when they're talking about something completely random. But Matthew Shoemaker, what I think I saw was Elon Musk saying he was going to be in and out of the White House. So can you bring us your verdict on his tenure at Doge, and what has he achieved in those 130 days?
Well, he certainly has rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I have my own contacts that are in the White House that are extraordinarily glad to see the end of him. More than anything, I think Elon Musk really, although he had some successes in curbing about $175 billion from the federal expenditure accounts, that is extremely short of the $2 trillion that he initially claimed he was going to be able to wipe away. So that's maybe 10% of what he promised. I think more than anything, though, he really did not learn the main lesson of Washington, which is Washington is all about putting together groups of people and establishing relationships to bring groups of people to an agreement. That is how Washington works. It's very different from Silicon Valley, where if you're in charge, your word goes. And because he was not able to work within those confines and not able to build those coalitions, this is what he gets. He is now effectively out of the building, out of the White House, more than anything. He still will more than anything, be able to come in and out at his pleasure. But, you know, he's not going to be there long term. And his voice is just going to be one of many at this point.
Thank you very much indeed, Matthew Shoemaker. You're an intelligence and national security expert and a political commentator. And I'm sorry I couldn't bring you kind of highlights from the press conference. I could see Donald Trump paying tribute to Elon Musk, and I could see Elon Musk taking delivery of a something in a box, some bit of probably some White House branded tat in a box. And they're taking questions from the press, and clearly the president didn't want to take one from the New York Times. Anyway, I want to get to your calls on how you think Trump is behaving with regard to the tariffs, and insisting that despite a federal court ruling that the tariffs should stand. He's also trying to bully Harvard into not taking international students that make up, I think, something like a quarter of the student body. A court ruling has said that is illegal too. He does seem to completely disregard these court rulings. Do you think that Donald Trump is placing himself, therefore, above the law? And is he becoming a de facto dictator in the land of the free? 03456060973 is the number to call. You can send WhatsApp messages on the same number to the text 84850, or you can tell Alexa to send a comment to LBC. You're listening to me, Rachel Johnson, and it's 7:16.
This is LBC.
What's your possible? The vision only you can make happen. Whatever the size of your business, accelerate your growth with the Intuit QuickBooks AI-powered platform. Power your possible with the number one recommended cloud accounting software, Intuit QuickBooks. Based on a survey of 506 UK accounting professionals. Verify at quickbooks.co.uk/verify.
I've had a few. Jimmy was my first. He was gorgeous and gave me so much space. Then there was Lorenzo. He was exciting, but also reliable. Elvis is my latest. I love him the most. He makes me feel so warm with his heated seats and steering wheel. It might sound strange to love a car and name them, but it's not just me. Almost every Honda Jazz owner stays with the Jazz and buys another. True love starts with a test drive. Honda, the power of dreams.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Did you know you can get Santander cycles for 24 hours for £3.50? I spent the day feeling the morning breeze, rolling with mates, keep up, free wheeling.
For £3.50, you can get 24 hours of unlimited 60-minute rides on Santander cycles. Download the Santander Cycles app to find your nearest docking station. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Pedal bikes only. Additional charges apply for e-bikes. Other T's and C's apply.
This is LBC with Rachel Johnson. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
7:18 is the time, and in this hour we're going to keep an eye on the White House. There is a press conference ongoing. Donald Trump is talking about Elon Musk, who has been off-boarded today, but he is saying that Elon Musk, the rocket entrepreneur, the Tesla car maker, will continue to be a friend and advisor to Donald Trump. In the meantime, I also wanted to look at what is increasingly seems like Donald Trump's attempts, as the courts have kind of got their act together and tried to stop various ones of his executive orders, not the tariffs, but that came under an emergency economic order. But, for example, on Harvard, on tariffs, Trump is blithely disregarding court rulings that says that these are illegal. The tariffs can continue pro tem, but I think he's going to find himself in a sticky place. But I mean, just the general posture he's taking is one that the judges are being jumped up and obnoxious and ultra vires in trying to stop him doing exactly what he wants to do. So my question to you is, do you think Donald Trump is placing himself above the law? And just quickly before we get to calls, Anthony and Ashford, you are next. I just did want you to hear a couple of clips which I thought were germane to this conversation. And the first comes from his press secretary, the absolutely killer blonde in a red bodycon dress at that time when she gave this statement, in which she basically dressed down the federal court for daring to challenge the tariff regime. Have a listen.
The courts should have no role here. There is a troubling and dangerous trend of unelected judges inserting themselves into the presidential decision-making process. America cannot function if President Trump, or any other president for that matter, has their sensitive diplomatic or trade negotiations railroaded by activist judges. President Trump is in the process of rebalancing America's trading agreements with the entire world, bringing tens of billions of dollars in tariff revenues to our country, and finally ending the United States of America from being ripped off. These judges are threatened to undermine the credibility of the United States on the world stage.
Something in me always gets the chills when I hear anyone in authority telling me that the judiciary are unelected. It makes me worry that totalitarianism is coming down the pipe. So let's hear Donald Trump's response to when a reporter asked him, because he has been flip-flopping and seesawing over the tariffs, whether he knew he was called a taco. Have a listen to this one.
Wall Street analysts have coined a new term called the taco trade. They're saying Trump always chickens out on your tariff threats, and that's why markets are higher this week. What's your response to that?
You mean because I reduced China from 145% that I set down to 100 and then down to another number? And I said you have to open up your whole country, and because I gave the European Union a 50% tax tariff, and they called up and they said, please, let's meet right now. Please, let's meet right now. You call that chickening out? Because we have $14 trillion now invested, committed to investing when Biden didn't have practically anything. 6 months ago, this country was stone cold dead. We had a dead country. We had a country people didn't think it was going to survive. And you ask a nasty question like that. It's called negotiation.
It never takes long, does it, for the cloven hoof to pop out in the White House these days? Well, look, let's get to your calls. I mean, there is overwhelming uncertainty. Donald Trump lives in a world of chaos. He floods the zone with news, with mind changes, with executive orders, with grandiloquent statements that he can end wars or start wars if he wants to, or put Putin back in his box. But in the meantime, America is trying to make a living, and the markets have completely just are paralyzed by uncertainty over who has the power to do what. And I think that, if Trump is essentially bullying the judiciary into saying he has the power, and then the judiciary kicks back and it all goes up to the Supreme Court, I think that's an inflection point. And if Trump wins that battle, we have a dictator on our hands. So I wonder if you agree. 0345 6060 973. Anthony and Ashford.
Good evening, Rachel. Yes, I would remind everybody that it's America and not Trumpania. That's the very point of America. That's why George Washington didn't wear a crown, because he didn't want this sort of situation to happen. He didn't want to be a dictator after coming through that war. And then, of course, he had a war about 150 years ago or more, which was a civil war, which was sparked by a constitutional crisis. And America could be heading to another such a crisis with this, what can we say, little Napoleon in the White House.
Big Napoleon. I mean, he said tonight, I was trying to find the tweet that he put out on Truth Social over the last 24 hours, in which he called himself, he said he was Mr. Nice Guy and China were the bad guys. He's Mr. Nice Guy. When is he going to stop being Mr. Nice Guy? And that, You know, that worries me. I mean,
it is a great worry. But luckily, there are presently mechanisms in America and hopefully here, because we had a dictator, don't forget, called Cromwell, and it didn't go too well. So we rejected that. We went back to the crown. This has been kind of a bit of an experiment, hasn't it, with Trump?
You would say that the great protector was the dictator, the Lord Protector, whatever he called himself, Oliver Cromwell.
Well, he tried, but he ended up becoming
something. What was it, the iron? I can't even remember. I'm so bad at English history. But I mean, comparing Cromwell, a man of a Puritan austerity, to Donald Trump is, I think, a bit odd.
Well, the irony is that the evangelicals, such as Jimmy Swaggart and co, actually venerate Trump as their kind of messiah or new messiah. They forgive him so much. This is a strange thing. America, which is essentially a Puritan country, was prepared to forgive Trump so much because they see him almost as a messianic figure.
Okay. Listen, Anthony, it's great to get you. Thank you for starting the ball rolling. We just want to hear a couple of clips from Donald Trump's historic press conference bidding farewell, but not a final farewell, to Elon Musk. So let's hear a little bit of what has been going on in I think it's the Oval Office.
Doge has also fully modernized the federal retirement process and continues to work very hard on the IRS modernization. But we're taking that over with Doge. Many of the Doge people, Elon, are staying behind, yes, too, so they're not leaving. And Elon's really not leaving. He's going to be back and forth, I think. I have a feeling. It's his baby, and I think he's going to be doing a lot of things. But Elon's service to America has been without comparison in modern history. He's already running one of the most innovative car companies in the world. You look at his factories and compare them with some of the old factories we have, and it's a big difference. And the most successful space company in, I guess, in history, you would have to say, the largest free speech platform on the Internet, etc. Yet, Elon willingly, with all of the success, he willingly accepted the outrageous abuse and slander and lies and attacks because he does love our country. I know that very much. He loves our country. Comes from another country, a country that's going through trials and tribulations, I would say. But he's all about the USA, and Americans owe him a great debt of gratitude. So I just want to thank Elon for his time as special government employee. Can you imagine? They call him an employee, but it's a special government employee, and for coming and helping us. And he really has changed the mindset of a lot of people.
That was Donald Trump paying tribute to Elon Musk. And the New York Times has done a valedictory essay on Elon Musk, the grey lady said that Musk joined the president's inner circle after making a vast fortune on cars, satellites and rocket ships, has been long known for making grandiose statements and a mercurial personality. Supporters see him as an eccentric genius whose slash and burn management style is the key to his success. So let's have a listen to how he responded to Donald Trump's tribute.
Well, let me say perhaps a few words this is not the end of Doge, but really the beginning. My time as a special government employee necessarily had to end. It was a limited time thing. It's 134 days, I believe, which ends in a few days. So it comes with a time limit. But the Doge team will only grow stronger over time. The Doge influence will only grow stronger. It's I liken it to a sort of Buddhism. It's like a way of life. So it is permeating throughout the government. And I'm confident that over time we'll see $1 trillion of savings and a reduction in $1 trillion of waste and fraud reduction. The calculations of the Doge team thus far, in terms of an FY25 to FY26 delta, are over $160 billion, and that's climbing. We expect that that number will probably go over $200 billion soon. So I think the Doge team is doing an incredible job. They're going to continue doing an incredible job. And I'll continue to be visiting here and be a friend and advisor to the president.
Yeah, that was Elon Musk speaking during his, I suppose, one of his last official moments in the White House. He's being off-boarded today, but both of them are saying that Elon Musk will remain an advisor and confidant of the president. Well, let's get to your calls on whether you think Donald Trump is becoming increasingly autocratic. Grace in Ealing.
Yes, he is, and it's concerning. And I wish that, as a fellow person with Asperger's syndrome, Musk had not promoted and supported Trump in the way that he has done. I'm feeling really concerned by the way that Trump is taking more and more power, that he's disregarding facts and reality, and that so many people are buying into what he says. I was perturbed a moment ago by your previous caller referring to evangelicals, not to criticise that caller, but I think people ought to know that in America, the word evangelical is completely misused for political reasons. Evangel refers to good news. So evangelical Christians believe particularly in the good news that Jesus offers salvation, and that's more important than religious institutions and traditions. But in America, the word has been, over the course of a few decades, kind of corrupted to refer to right-wing politics. And Trump is absolutely taking advantage of that. And it's really frustrating to see, as a British evangelical who doesn't associate with that politics at all, I've been particularly disturbed by Musk has ended USAID. And so many people are going to suffer because of that, and a whole load of Trump supporters have just bought into the lie that all that money was being wasted. But in fact, there are human beings in our world who are going to be starving because of what they've done, and their fans just don't care, and it's horrifying.
In the end, according to Matt Shoemaker, who we spoke to, who's a political commentator in the US, he only actually shaved something like, $200 billion. From the federal budget, which was a mere fraction of what he went in to do. He said he'd find $2 trillion to cut, and at best he found $200 billion.
Overseas aid is actually a tiny, tiny proportion of both our national budget and of the US budget, and it can make so much impact pound for pound when it's well spent. Some of it's not well spent, but when it is well spent, it makes a huge difference. But, Trump fans aren't necessarily looking at the numbers or the facts.
Thank you very much, Grace. And interesting that distinction you make between evangelicals in the United States, which is kind of proselytizing right-wing Christianity, and evangels here, which believe in the good news, I think. I think if I understood what Grace was saying correctly. Let's carry on this conversation about Donald Trump. Is he a tin pot dictator, and Napoleon, whatever you want to call it? Is he becoming, does he place himself now above the law if he's going to ignore federal rulings on his tariff regimes, and also what he's trying to do to Harvard, which is to ban them from taking international students that make up, I think it's a quarter of the student body, and probably many, many more things, given how many executive orders he signed. So we'll get back to that in just a few moments. You're listening to me, Rachel Johnson, on LBC at 7:32. Let's get the latest LBC news headlines with Amelia Cox.
An investigation has begun at HMP Long Larton after a prison officer was stabbed by an inmate in Worcestershire. The 25-year-old has been flown to hospital with serious injuries and is in a stable condition. A 53-year-old man accused of driving into crowds at Liverpool's Premier League title parade has appeared in court. Paul Doyle is facing several charges, including GBH with intent, after 79 people were injured on Monday. And the BBC says it's disappointed after being ordered to pay damages to former Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams. He'd taken the broadcaster to court over allegations he sanctioned the killing of a party official, which he denies. LBC weather turning increasingly breezy with the risk of showers in the north and west tonight. Dry and mainly clear in the south and east, a low of 5 degrees.
LBC.
At Halfords, we want you to say yes to packing more into summer days with a great value roof box or bike rack. Say yes to freewheeling fun with bikes and gear for all the family. Say yes to a perfectly polished car with our range of car cleaning products. And say yes to easy breezy trips with a free aircon check. Our experts are on hand with checks, advice and fitting. So pop into your local store or shop online and say yes to summer at Halfords. Subject to availability, see halfords.com for full T's and C's.
Did you know you can get Santander cycles for 24 hours for £3.50? I spent the day feeling the morning breeze, rolling with mates. Keep up! Free wheeling!
For £3.50, you can get 24 hours of unlimited 60-minute rides on Santander Cycles. Download the Santander Cycles app to find your nearest docking station. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Pedal bikes only. Additional charges apply for e-bikes. Other T's and C's apply.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. HolidayParkAdviceCentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC, with Rachel Johnson.
7:34 is the time, and I've started a conversation. I'm sure this won't be the first time, as to whether Donald Trump thinks he is above the law, whether he regards himself as a sort of imperialist dictator, a Napoleon figure who bestrides all he surveys, can do exactly what he wants without any checks or balances at all, whether they are enshrined within the sacred constitution or not. It seems to me that's how America's going. But what about you? 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. Scott in West Hampstead. Where'd you stand?
Oh, hello.
Hi there.
Hello, Rachel. What a wonderful show. And I absolutely agree with you that he's a dictator. I see him as a dictator. And you know this, his mother was from Scotland, and my mother was from Scotland too. And my late mother would be quite ashamed. I remember, you know, when President Kennedy was, the day he was assassinated, how upset my mother was, because she loved President Kennedy. And I can still remember, you know, the day it happened, when he was gunned down in Dallas. And she took a close, you know, she watched American politics very, very closely. And me as well. And we mustn't forget the fact that Donald Trump is a convicted felon. And my view is that, you know, when you're a convicted felon, unless there's some transformation in your life and you know, you change your ways, you know, you'll always be a convicted felon. And I feel very strongly about this. You know, he's a rogue president. That's my view. And I don't think it's going to bode well the next three years. I mean, there are going to be, you know, lots of legal, you know, cases against him. It's going to go to the Supreme Court. I don't know what the Supreme Court's going to say about some of these further things, but because he's put some of his own people into the Supreme Court, and it's quite partisan. I like to see a Supreme Court that's completely impartial, but it's not impartial, and that really worries me.
Well, I think, wait. We have to wait and see when they are tested on the anvil of Trump's will. If that's, that's probably, I've just made up that expression.
That's a good expression.
It's going to be very interesting to see whether the justices are constitutional purists or whether they are political, not appointees, but or whether they bend politically to the will of the White House. And I have faith. I mean, for example, Stephen Breyer, who's been a justice before Trump, I think even his first term. He's somebody like, you know, like Tom Bingham here, who was, I think, Lord Chief Justice and Lord Chancellor, who wrote a book called The Rule of Law. Now, Stephen Breyer has also got a book out called The Rule of Law. How can you have a book out called The Rule of Law and then accept that what Donald Trump wants should take precedence over the law of the land? Now, of course, as you point out, there is a court and they will be voting on this, and it will depend on whether Trump's people are Trump's people or whether they are constitutional purists. And that I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, is what I'm saying.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. But, you know, as I remember the picture in the papers, in fact, it was a paper I'd written something about Trump's leadership skills. Underneath that picture, with all those people storming the Capitol on the 6th of January, four years ago, and I wrote then, I said, this isn't going to go very well. He's not fit to be president. It was quite a lengthy piece under that picture of people going into that Capitol, and I still think he was behind that, trying to undermine American democracy. And it's something I never thought I would ever see in my life. My eldest brother is in Alabama in America, and he supported Trump during his first administration, but I'm not so sure he supports him now. with what's going on.
Interesting. Well, thank you for that, Scott. It'd be interesting to hear Rob. We've spoken before. Right. Hi. We've spoken before. Scott says that Donald Trump's a deeply worrying, troubling individual to be holding the highest office in the land in the United States, and he was behind January the 6th. And, you know, it's not going to plan as far as democracy is concerned. What are you hearing in Wyoming?
Right, well, okay, a little background. I'm 75 now, and I served, I was in and out of Northern Ireland a little bit when all those troubles were going on. And I'm worried that the same thing is going to start happening here. We're going to have a civil war if we're not careful. It was interesting. I spoke to Ian Dello about a year ago, and last time I spoke to him, he said he remembered it well. But I was then talking about a fascist running the country, and that's clearly what has happened. What I'm really worried about is that I was in computers and data comms and everything for many, many years. It was my main profession. And what I'm concerned about, and I was speaking to people about it a while ago, and it's just been confirmed, is that the target for Musk has been to get access to all of these databases. All these databases have all our personal information. And I just read today that Palantir, who are one of the kind of right-wing, again, South African guys that runs that, have just received a contract that they are putting to, that they've got together a system to be able to combine all of that information, search all of that information, where they can look for people who disagree or who are against the government. And I know exactly how that information is being used. My wife has flown back to England for a couple of weeks, and I'm really worried when she comes back. She's taken a burner phone with her, not an iPhone or anything. When those planes come into this country, all of the passenger lists and everything are freely available, and these are being run through the combined databases with AI, so that when you arrive, they know exactly who they want to talk to when you come off that plane. And that's really worrying, that for a lot of people.
And can they also scrape all your social media? I read somewhere that people who've been tweeting, you know, pejoratively about Musk or Trump now don't get ingress into the United States, are not admitted because of some right tweet.
No, that's true.
That's incredible.
That's true.
This is scary stuff, isn't it?
It's an advanced 1984.
Yeah. Okay.
This is a very advanced 1984.
Palantir aside, Trump, in one of my callers already, I think it was Matt, the expert shoemaker said, I can't remember now, but one of my valued and esteemed callers said that this was like Churchill's second term. It's beginning to look like a disaster. Obviously not financially Donald Trump. But yeah, well, what are people saying in the Rockies?
No, what we're really concerned about is loss of free speech. You've got to be careful what you do. Just down south in Colorado, that's one of our big worries, because ICE has already threatened to take the Oklahoma National Guard, federalize them, and take them into Denver to start arresting people that are being protected in Denver, which are often just normal people like you and me.
But that doesn't sound like the land of the free. So why is Trump still so popular if he's threatening people who go against him?
Well, because it's a cult. I mean, we've had cults before where the cult leader's got everybody to commit suicide. So, it's a cult.
Jonestown, absolutely. Fifty-statewide Jonestown.
Yeah, I'm not overegging it. I did just before the election. Ian Dale was on the subject, and I ran him up. And I said, "Look, Ian, I said there's two choices. Either he loses
and we end up with violence and riots in the streets, or he wins and the riots and the violence is going to come later.
Rob.
And I think I'm going to be right.
What a Cassandra.
It's
what a Cassandra to have on the 7:44 on a Friday evening. Let's squeeze you in, Alex, in Cannock.
Hi. Hi. Thank you for letting me on. I was just listening to that last caller. Very, very scary. And I think that even if Trump isn't the dictator that comes in and kind of really pushes aside the Constitution and installs himself as this great leader, he's definitely tearing up the rule book in a way that would facilitate somebody coming after him to do the same. I think he's changed politics in America and even in the UK for good. He's just really shown how somebody can come in and really exploit the loopholes in the law, in the way that American politics is structured, so that somebody who wants to become a dictator can exploit that. So it's really dangerous times. I think the Democrats missed an opportunity really to seal up some of the gaps that he's exploiting now.
On the other hand, he did lose after one term to Joe Biden. And what about the pendulum effect? When the pendulum is swinging quite hard in the direction of autocracy, totalitarianism, anti-judicial powers towards a centralization of powers in the White House. We saw that with all those executive orders, with the way he slapped tariffs, which turns out to be illegal on various countries, including ours, in fact, a universal tariff. So do you not think that there's going to be a pushback against this eventually?
I hope that there is. But you said that he lost after his first term, but he contested the results of the election and he mounted an insurrection. So what's to stop him doing that again? And you know, learning from the first time and maybe doing things a little bit differently.
Anno Domini, I think, is the answer.
Well, we will see.
Okay. Lovely to get you on. Thank you very much,
Thank
Alex
you.
And Cannock. We're going to carry on with this conversation. Is this how democracy dies, with Trump deciding to ignore federal court rulings that his tariff regime is illegal? Is it now an open and shut case of asking not what Donald Trump can do for America, but what can the world do for Donald Trump? The time is 7:46.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Dame Emily Thornberry, Chair of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee, Labour MP. In Islington as well, of course, joins me in the studio. Do you think we're moving on from the Brexit wars?
I think they probably don't care. I mean, I think they, on the whole, those who wanted to leave are happy. Those who didn't want to leave are not particularly happy. But everybody's kind of moved on.
Listen on your radio, on Global Player and the new LBC app.
Do you agree with him that they are using starvation as a weapon of war?
They say that they are not allowing food into Gaza in order to get the hostages back. I have to say, this is not the way to behave. They have to stop. This far-right government is behaving in the most appalling way, and there will be a reckoning.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10 on LBC.
A Southern Train is a place where family moments become more peaceful. Where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade with snacks, stories and the occasional sheep for a bonus point. Less stress, more yes, with kids' tickets for £2 at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6/25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/spin.
At Halfords, we want you to say yes to packing more into summer days with a great value roof box or bike rack. Say yes to freewheeling fun with bikes and gear for all the family. Say yes to a perfectly polished car with our range of car cleaning products. And say yes to easy breezy trips with a free aircon check. Our experts are on hand with checks, advice and fitting. So pop into your local store or shop online and say yes to summer at Halfords. Subject to availability, see halfords.com for full T's and C's.
How likely is she to, you know, have another heart attack?
Can I still go to the gym after heart surgery?
Is my mum still my mum if she has a new heart?
When it comes to heart health, no question is too big or small. That's why British Heart Foundation have dedicated cardiac nurses you can speak to by phone, email, or online chat.
Hi, this is Chloe from British Heart Foundation. How can I help?
Search BHF Cardiac Nurses.
There's not many things as epic as jumping over a volcano in a monster truck or even swinging over a crocodile-infested river. But 15% off when you spend £15 at Mackey's comes pretty close. Deal drop. Download the app to redeem all week. 18 plus app only. One use per week until the 1st of June. Minimum spend and discount only applies to food and drink. Fees apply to delivery. Participation varies. T's and C's apply.
Leading Britain's conversation with Rachel Johnson. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
7:49. Looking forward to getting back to your calls on Donald Trump and his incipient totalitarianism. But let's go up to the northwest. The Liverpool crash suspect. You will have, of course, not yet forgotten that the terrible scenes on the streets of Liverpool during the Liverpool FC's victory parade the other day. Paul Doyle used the car as a weapon. He is the crash suspect, a court was told today. Chris Chambers is LBC's Northwest correspondent, and he joins us now to bring us up to date on that. Chris, what can you tell us?
Evening, Rachel. Paul Doyle first appeared at Liverpool Magistrates Court this morning. He cut a solemn figure in the dock as he was accused of using his car, a Ford Galaxy Titanium, deliberately as a weapon. He was told he's facing 7 charges, one of dangerous driving and 6 others relating to 6 victims, which include 2 children aged 11 and 17. There are 2 counts of wounding with intent, 2 counts of causing grievous bodily harm with intent, and 2 counts of attempted grievous bodily harm with intent. And he was then told because of how serious the charges are, he would be referred to the Crown Court, and that hearing took place less than an hour later. The father of 3 spoke only to confirm his name and date of birth during that hearing before he was then remanded in custody. He's been told he's going to come back to court on August the 14th to enter a plea, with a trial provisionally set for November time. Now, 79 people suffered injuries in this incident. 7 of those remain in hospital, and the Crown Prosecution Service has said this is an ongoing investigation and Paul Doyle could potentially face more charges down the line.
OK, and just on the mood in Merseyside and the Wirral and West Derby, where he came from, there's been quite a lot of coverage of this man, quite positive from some of the tabloids. Well, what's the feeling?
It's been a difficult time, hasn't it? Because obviously what happened was such a dreadful experience for those who were involved. And then, you know, you get all the speculation, you get the online comments that, you know, often without basis, and people speculating. That's been the most difficult thing. People trying to work out who this is, you know, not necessarily understanding the way in which the legal system works or the way in which the media works, and asking questions about why people don't know who he is, why they haven't seen his photograph. Various questions that haven't been answered that they would like to know the answer to. But obviously we are now in a process, yeah. And people just have to understand that that is the process which, you know, the media have to abide by, and the legal system has to abide by, and everyone's trying to make that as clear as possible.
And I've just got one last question, if you can answer this within the usual constraints. On the day or within the period when the crash was very recent, there was talk, and I think even from the police, that there was drug driving or drink driving. Did that form any part of the charges today?
No, so he's not been charged with drink or drug driving. But the line that we've had from the Crown Prosecution Service is that, you know, this is still a live investigation. Still very early in the investigation as well. It was only just a few days ago that this happened. And, you know, we've been told that there may potentially be more charges down the line as this investigation continues.
OK, Chris Chambers, LBC's Northwest correspondent, thank you very much for that this evening. An update on the Liverpool crash suspect Paul Doyle, who used car as a weapon, a court was told today. Time 7:52. Let's get back to calls on Donald Trump. And I'm sorry to those who say that LBC shouldn't be talking about the most important man in the free world, whose every economic whim and action can determine this country's economic future as well as his. I make no apology for staying with Trump for the rest of this hour. Robert in Leytonstone.
Good evening, Rachel.
Good evening, Robert.
Yeah, if I take you back all the way to Joe Biden's inaugural speech, a couple of days afterwards, I was on Tom's programme and I did explain that either Joe Biden, he was incredibly naive or lying through his teeth. I imagine he's incredibly naive is probably the real, rather than lying through his teeth. Now, if the West stay number one in the world, I'm afraid that the way to do that is for it to become actually a good autocracy. Because whether you like it or not, democracy always win, probably, over democracy. So the West has got to do an awful, awful lot of thinking, Rachel. And this conversation that I'm sort of having with you now about autocracy and democracy, I had a long while ago, something like March 7 or March 78 with someone, which I could continue that conversation with, where I actually discussed this.
1978, did you say? That's a while ago.
A long while indeed, Rachel. It is a long while indeed.
If you're worried about it then and you're still worried about it now, I mean, we're not an autocracy. Most of Western Europe's not an autocracy. Obviously, Hungary is problematic. The BRICS are problematic. America is, you know, is turning to that type of government. I agree. But I still hold out hope that of the checks and balances, the Constitution and the Supreme Court, and also just the good sense and the will of the people that put him there in the first place. Yep.
Yeah, Rachel.
Robert.
As you have an autocracy, I mean, you can't have within that will to the people and that people be given priority, choice and options. Also, I imagine I'll get cut off soon because it's not in agreement with what you like. So, the discussion really, you know, has to be had by the West. We need to understand why it is that the West has to consider autocracy. You know, in a bad. Okay. Autocracy doesn't mean that things are not free or good for the people of a country.
Now, Robert, I've just got one question for you. A couple of people have texted to say my audio is very low. Can you hear me all right?
Hear you all right, Rachel,
you
yes.
Can. Okay, well, I don't know what's going on with everyone else. Robert, thank you very much, as ever. Ranjit in the West Midlands.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, Rachel, right, too many people around the world are sucking up to Donald Trump, and it's making his ego even bigger, right? His level of intelligence isn't very high. I mean, he's broken a record because he's only the second president ever to come back and be president second time after losing one round, which has built up his ego. Too many, like I said, you know, our prime minister going up to him and giving him an invitation from the king. You know, I wish I was in the room when Sir Keir Starmer told the king, listen, I'm going to take a letter to the president, what words were said there, right? He's been going on about tariffs for the last 40 years, yeah? He isn't even in a position, because they're not self-sufficient. Every time he's put a tariff on anybody, he's had to back down because, I mean, he can't get the chips, he can't get the phones, he can't get the laptops. So China are setting the way to bring him back down to earth. And I think if more people did that, he'll have to change his ways. And he hasn't solved any of the war problems, right? He's put people into poverty. And like most people say, he is a cult figure. And until these people realise, and it's not going to change anything, but we have to stop pampering him because that's his ego being massaged all the time.
Well, he's, you know, got his state visit, Ranji, hasn't he? By the way, you know, you talked about him. He always reverses his tariffs. He slaps them on and then he reverses it. Did you hear that clip from that reporter in the White House saying that he's known as the taco? Trump always chickens out. And he hated it. He hated it.
He does chicken out because, you know, when he's met real formidable opponents like China, right? He's had to back down because when someone's told him, Mr. President, your phone is made in China, your laptop's made in China, right? We haven't got... He was trying to force JLR to build a plant there, right? You know, in India, Japan built a Suzuki plant years ago. And what they've done was they negotiated a deal. If he wants JLR to build a plant in America, He has to give them subsidies. Not
Ranjit, thank you so much. I just want to read out a couple of texts before we change the subject. Dean, who's driving, says, don't forget that on the 1st of July 2024, the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 on presidential immunity from prosecution. I think Trump has, brackets, wrongly interpreted that as allowing him to do anything he likes. And listen to this from Callum. I never thought I'd say it, but the one thing that keeps America safe in the long term is the Second Amendment. The right to bear arms means the population will have power once Trump has ignored the courts. Wow. On that doomsday note, coming up in the next hour from the University of Bleeding Obvious, maybe I speak as a mother. New research suggests doctors should trust parents' gut instincts more than they do, and that a parent's intuition is better than medical tests. Asking a parent whether they think their child is getting worse or better is a better diagnostic tool than all those other ones. And it should be treated as part of a child's care team. I agree, do you? Has your gut feeling ever clashed with a doctor's opinion? Do you think doctors should listen more closely to parents? After the news, I'll tell you what happened when I inhaled eggshell over breakfast as a little girl.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation.